So thank you, Lok Bandhu, for a kind words for me. Well, when I arrived here, I felt very happy, and I must say that I am very happy person today after seeing all of you, and particularly my friend Lok Bandhu. I think while when I'll straightway go into the subject, while Lok Bandhu was talking about the caste system as well as Dr. Ambedkar's the efforts to move away, to take us outside that caste system, I was really moved, because I just remembered all my life. When Dr. Ambedkar died, I was just 7 years old, and he mentioned, Lok Bandhu mentioned that when he died, how his people felt. So I was a witness to that in my village when I was 7 years old. There is a community place where the flag is there. Still today it is there. That's the Panchashil flag. Panchashil flag is the Buddhist flag, as well as there is a blue flag, which is the flag which represents the struggle which Dr. Ambedkar had to do. And when he died on that day, everyone was weeping, everyone was crying in our locality. And then I was just standing, and I really didn't understand why people were crying, you know. And that had a tremendous impact on me, really tremendous impact. And from then, that was in 1956, I was 7 years old. And then 1957, I went to the place in Nagpur, where Dr. Ambedkar led all these people to Buddhism. And I went there. At that time I was 8 years old. And then when I saw the 2 days, about 11 lakhs, 1.1 million people on those 2 days just came there. They took the refuges and precepts, and they took a new life, got converted into Buddhism. They took a new religion. And there was lot of energy, there was lot of enthusiasm, that we ourselves got freed from the clutches of Hinduism, from the clutches of the caste system. And we had a new identity. Yes, we are Buddhists, we are no longer a part of Hinduism. I don't know whether everyone sitting here understands the caste system. Do you? Anyone who doesn't understand the caste system, I would just explain. Anyone? Or everyone understands the caste system? Yeah? I'll say more. I give talks to the students in India, and I ask them, do you understand the caste system? So, particularly in the villages when I go. And they say that, yes, our parents have told that I belong to the Brahmin. I belong to the Kshatriya. Brahmin, you know Brahmin, it's a caste of the priests, I think, that community. And then the Kshatriya means the warriors, and then there are the Shudra, Vaishyas, they are the businessmen, and then there is the Shudras, who are the farmers and others. And below that, there are the so-called, the untouchables. Untouchables means if I touch him, he will get polluted because of my touch, you know. So that kind of status was awarded. And I will just give the one example to that. I came from a very, very poor family, you know. We had our own land, but because of the caste system, we were not able to cultivate that. So I came from a very poor family. When I was a child, fifth standard means about 11 years old, I used to go with my mother to work on the fields, to wade what's that, the grass, from the crop. And my mother used to take water with her, because she was very, very, she wanted to make her own. Yes, we are Buddhists, and we just can't take water from the Hindus, because the Hindus used to give the water like that, you know. We had to do like this, and they used to pour water from above. So like this we have to drink water. They won't give the glass to us. Suppose if they give the glass and if we touch to our lips, that glass will get polluted, that water will get polluted, and they will get polluted. So that was a concept. So my mother used to take the water with us. But my friend, he was so thirsty at that time. And then he asked me, he said, from where I should get water? I said, okay, it's there, it is in that drum. He went there, he drank the water. But then one man came and he said, you have polluted the whole water. Just by touching that, you have polluted the whole water. And then he threw that water away, but he was beaten with the rope, you know, and severe beating. So that's how that caste system. If you go to the caste Hindus for milk, you know, so you they will pour milk from above, not like that. So it is a touch. It is basically the touch. Untouchable means we were that time untouchables. Untouchable, the one cannot be touched. If you touch him, you are going to get polluted. So that was a kind of status there. I remember when I used to go to school, then I was asked by the teacher, no, you can't sit with others. You have to sit outside the room, you know. So that was a condition. Even after 1956, even after 1957, even after embracing Buddhism. So that was the caste system. So when I went to Diksha Bhumi, that is where Dr. Ambedkar converted, and when I found there are so many people were there, so many, and then we took Dhamma Diksha. But after that, when we want to ascertain, yes, we are Buddhist, we no longer are going to do the caste duties. There used to be caste duties in the villages. Caste duties. That means, what were the caste duties which were allotted to us at that time? Though the untouchability was in a way abolished through the Indian Constitution. Dr. Ambedkar, in fact, he was the architect of the Indian Constitution. He was a law minister at that time. So though it was abolished, but it was practiced. Even today also it is being practiced. You must be knowing, some people must be knowing about the Khairlanji episode in Bhandara district. Now also, the one girl who was college going girl, she was asserting herself, that was 2 years, 2-3 years before, who was asserting herself. She had a mobile and she was trying to live in a modern way, you know. And then caste Hindu said, no, you can't live like that. They were so jealous. Though you are Buddhist, but you are below us. You just can't assert that. And then there were other problems also, because they were Buddhist and associated with that. And she was murdered, mother and another sister. So three people. So that was a thing. And now also it is practiced in the villages. Now also. Even it is practiced in the different form in the universities. It is practiced in the different form elsewhere also. So it hasn't yet gone. Now, what Dr. Ambedkar told us, he told about Dr. Ambedkar. Let me say something about Dr. Ambedkar. Dr. Ambedkar, he was born in 1891 and he had a quite high education. He had been to England. He did his Bharat law. He was an economist. He had his education in the London School of Economics. And he went back. Now, one thing you know, Though these people, I mean particularly these untouchables, they didn't have any leader. Mahatma Gandhi was there. You must have heard about Mahatma Gandhi, Mr. Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi was there, but he wanted to keep the caste system alive. He said, for the stability of the society, and many the so-called scholars in the modern world, when they come to India, they think that for the stability of the society, the caste system is required. But that is not the case. And that shouldn't be there. So what Dr. Ambedkar did, he in fact awakened the people. He in fact awakened the masses. What he said, unless you get out of the caste system, there is not going to be the emancipation. For your own emancipation, you must come out of the caste system. So that was the message. One. Another, his message was, now these people were illiterate, no education, because education was barred. It is the Brahmins who should take the education, who should have the education, and not the others. And particularly these untouchables, they were not allowed to go to school. So he said, you must educate yourself. You must first educate yourself. Just a higher education. Unless you educate yourself, there is not going to be any progress. So, for education, then we have to struggle. And then another message he said, for education, you must struggle. Look, you haven't got anything now. You have got anything now. And let me tell you, we didn't have anything 50 years ago, about 60 years ago. We really didn't have anything. We started from the ashes. We really didn't have. And he said, okay, you are not going to lose. You must educate and the struggle for yourself. Another message he has given, that the whole community must organize. So those three words were there, and they work like magic. The educate yourself, struggle, and organize. He put the word, aggressive word, agitate. Educate, agitate, and organize. The communists say educate, organize, and agitate. Dr. Ambedkar said educate, agitate, and organize. That agitate or the struggle was in two ways. Struggle for changing yourself. To bring a change in yourself. Now also I have to struggle, Now also I have to struggle. That struggle isn't gone. I have to change myself. In order to change myself, I have to struggle. And to bring the change in the society, again, there is a struggle. So he said, educate, struggle or the agitate, and organize. Now for agitation, he said, if someone is doing injustice to you, if someone wants that you should do the caste duties, no, you should say no. And then there was a wave of violence. When we started to assert that, look, we are Buddhists, we are not going to do the caste duties, and then there used to be the violence. We were not allowed water from the open wells. We were not allowed even the, because we were so poor, we were dependent on the caste Hindus for providing the labor to us. It was just a hell, it was just the hell of a lot. But then through education, we carried that message in a letter and spirit, we got educated. And then side by side, then what happened? Because all our energy was locked, because we were not awakened during that time. Because in the caste, and when we came out of the caste, and when we embraced Buddhism, there was tremendous energy, there was tremendous enthusiasm. And then the people utilized that energy, to change themselves. There was an intellectual revolution, let me tell you, and Dr. Ambedkar saw that the intellectual revolution was a must. Therefore, in 1935, he said, look, though I was born in Hindu religion, but I will not die in Hindu religion. It was not my fault. It was not my fault that I was born in Hindu religion, but I will not die there. And then he gave that message so strongly to his people. He gave that so strongly that then everyone thought, no, what Dr. Ambedkar says is correct. We must follow him. And then he took about 21 years. So he thought to leave Hinduism in 1935, but in fact he didn't leave until 1956. Why? Why that so? Because he wanted to make his people politically conscious also. He wanted the political rights to his people. Unless we get those rights, unless we get power in the government, and this is very important, let me tell you, unless we get power in the government, unless we get the power in, because there are so many power, the structure there. So the rightful place in that governmental organizations at the very high level, these atrocities will not be stopped unless those rights are there. So then he started the newspapers. He gave lot of wherever he goes. So he just gave lot of talks and everything. He started his own political party. Sometimes in 1937 as the Independent Labour Party. And then in 1942, what he did, the very important thing he did, that he established the People's Education Society in Bombay. And through that society, he started colleges for the rural masses, for the students coming from the rural India. And he said that, the question was asked to him, why you are starting all these colleges and all these higher educational institutes? Well, he didn't have money, let me tell you, he didn't have money at that time. So he borrowed money from the Nizam of Hyderabad, the Prince of Hyderabad. He went to him and he said, look, these are my people. They are suffering like anything. You have your duty to help them. He was a Muslim. You must help them. So he gave a lot of land in Aurangabad, which is the middle part of Maharashtra. Then in Bombay also, he got a land. And then he constructed. And then, he was having lot of loan. He built up a library and there was lot of loan. So he said, I am not going to worry. I am not going to worry at all. So those were different things. But then, after that, the independence, the India became independent in 1947. There was that British rule, as you said. I must say that the British were quite sympathetic. They were quite sympathetic to the demands of at that time. Still, they were called untouchables, But then Dr. Ambedkar was very demanding, and he wanted more from them. And so he didn't care, to criticize. He even criticized them. He said, look, you are doing too little. You are so considerate to Mr. Gandhi, but you are not considerate to us. Then there was that independence in 1947. The Nehru Gandhi, they invited him as a law minister to draft the constitution. He did that. And in 1956, there was that revolution. And as I said, I was a witness to that Dhamma revolution. Now, we had to struggle quite a lot. I had to struggle quite a lot for my education. I have experienced this casteism during my education. In our villages, I mean, Gandhi wanted to keep the village concept as alive. Dr. Ambedkar said, no, that must change. Because in village, the caste system will be kept alive. And he asked his people, in 1949, he asked us, look, you must leave villages and go to the cities. He said that. And then we have taken that message in 1949. So many people migrated from the village and they went to the city. And that's how we got education. I remember for my ninth standard means when I was about 14 years old or 15 years old, I moved to Nagpur. And then I had all my postgraduate education, up to my postgraduate education. I stayed in the hostel there. But then during this period, there was one more thing which we wanted to do. Well, Dr. Ambedkar, another thing what he did is that, he told us about the Buddha, and he said, look, whatever you got, it is because of the community. It is because of the community. Unless that community was organized, the community was organized. So you must pay back to the community. You know this concept. You know the concept of paying back to the community. That you are grateful to the community, so you must pay back. And how to pay back? Because you got educated. It is your duty. It is your duty to see that your brethren, those who are poor, those who are suffering, you must help them. You must help them. And that's how then we start, even before coming to the contact of PBMAG, we started our own organization to help the people. Then sometimes in 1979, the Friends of Western Buddhist Order, which was established in UK, the Sangharakshita, he came to India. He started there as TBMHG. That was in 78, and I was then. Of course, I was so much. I was searching the Buddhist movement. I thought it is through Buddhist movement we can bring this revolution. We can make this revolution successful. So then, as Lokbandhu said, I got interested there. I came along. I was ordained in 1982, and then I was a witness again through spreading of Dr. Ambedkar's message as well as Buddha's message to the masses in India, to the masses in Maharashtra. Now, one more thing I must tell you is that there is. In 1978, there was a lot of poverty. Even today also, there is quite a lot of poverty in Maharashtra, in India also. I think there is this kind of image which is created around the world that the India is quite developing at the moment. There is an image created about Maharashtra, that Maharashtra, which is a western state, a western part of India, that is also quite developing, and that sort of help is not required to them. But if you go, so who are becoming richer and richer day by day? It is the people who are in the higher strata of the society. That is the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, that the second level. Even in the third level, they are becoming richer and richer. And let me tell you, the poorers, they are becoming poorer. I don't want to say that the Buddhist community, that the who converted from the Mahars, or the before that they used to call the Untouchables, into Buddhism. Well, they have done during the last 50 years, they have done so well. There are a lot of highly educated people there, and in one way or other they are helping the community. But that's not enough. That's not enough. So therefore, in 1979, we came together and we thought that we must start the educational program, the social and educational program in the city. Here there have been a lot of migrations from the rural areas. And why those migrations were there? Why those migrations of the people were there? Because they were not getting labor. They were not getting the work. So there were a lot of migrations in the cities. So people came to the cities and they established their hutments, the slums. There were, and then some people they preferred to stay in the villages. Now then we thought that we must take up the educational program. We must tackle the social issues. And then we concentrated on the educational program. So at that time we didn't have money. So what to do? So sometimes in 1979, we thought at that time, yes, we must do something. And we have got our brothers here in UK, the members of the Western Buddhist Order. And during 1979, we started the Aid for India Trust here in UK. That was then renamed as, that is there, but then it took a form of the Karuna Trust. So our friends here in UK, they used to raise they used to raise funds. Now also they are raising funds. And then we started our first hostel. Now I am coming to that. We started our first hostel. Hostel means for the poor girl, poor, very, very poor boys, they would come to the city and they had those residential facilities and they would go to the nearby school. For them we started one hostel facility in 1984. Then for the girls in 1987 in Pune. And then over a period of years, we have about 20 hostels in all, Northern India, then in the Tamil Nadu, then in Gujarat, then the central part of India and like that. So we felt this program was very, very effective. And for that, the Karuna Trust, they were raising funds. This is for the educational program. And our experience is that whenever we go to the hostels, and when we see the smiling faces of the boys and girls, we feel so happy. We feel so happy about it. Otherwise, they wouldn't get that education. Otherwise, they wouldn't get that education. So there are so many programs going on there. We are not fully depending on Karuna. We do get the government grants, Maharashtra state government grants, as well as we do raise some local funds, but they are not enough. So when I came here and when I found, I just felt. When I came here, I just felt that we are part of one humanity. We are part of one humanity, because here the Karuna Trust, our Western brothers, they are helping us there. They are raising funds there. Why they are doing that, and why should they do that? Because there is that concern. So when I came here and when I saw around, I just felt, though I am coming from India, though my brothers and sisters are here, I just felt that there is a connection between us. And what is that connection? The connection is that we are all human beings. We have got the same issues. We have got the same problems. We have got the same sorrows. And we long for the happiness. Why we are here for? We are searching that, yes, for happiness. And when I was thinking, what is the ultimate aim of Buddhism? Ultimate aim of Buddhism is how to search for the happiness, how to make oneself happy. So that is what I want to say. I have a message from all my students, all my hostel students. When I came here, they say that you just, when you go there and wherever you go, you just talk to them and give our message that we send our love and we send our friendship to everyone here. So that's the message which I got from my the students, the hostel students, which I am passing on to you. That's one. Another thing is that we need your support. We need your emotional support. We need your backing. Because our struggle is still going on. Our struggle is for the dignity, you know. Because we live. We want to live as human beings there. We want to have our own self-respect. We want to maintain our own dignity there. Still the life is not easy. I mean, in the cities it is easy. In the villages it is not that easy. We have to do quite a lot. We are just catering for how many students? About 800 to 900 students, I think, in all our hostels. Maybe 1,000 students, but there is a lot of poverty. We have to cater for the college education. So we need lot of support from you. We need lot of support from you. We need your friendship, you know, and longing for the friendship from everyone. So you know, I was thinking on this occasion, if Lokbandhu allows me to sing one song, I think for you.
Really?
Yeah. Would that be fine?
Yeah.
Yeah. To sing a song for you. Would that be fine?
Yes.
Because that song, you know, will communicate my feelings to you, and I think I'll explain the meaning of that song, which is really it will give you my all inner feelings. So I'm going to sing for you. Is that okay? That is a Hindi song. I will translate for you later. Would that be fine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. So, अगर मुझको गौतम कहीं भी मिलेंगे वहीं पर मैं उनके कदम चूम लूंगा अगर मुझको गौतम कहीं भी मिलेंगे वहीं पर मैं उनके कदम चूम लूंगा एक दिन आ गया ऐसा वो सुनहरी मौका ढूंढते ढूंढते दोनों को अचानक देखा एक दिन आ गया ऐसा वो सुनहरी मौका ढूंढते ढूंढते दोनों को अचानक देखा मेरे गौतम को मीठी नींद में सोते देखा और बाबा को उनके पैर दबाते देखा I will explain this in English. If I meet the Lord Buddha anywhere, I will touch his feet and kiss his feet. One day I saw a dream. And in that dream, I saw both Dr. Ambedkar and the Buddha together. I saw Buddha very tired. He was sleeping after his afternoon meals. And then Dr. Ambedkar went to him. And he bowed to him. He was sitting there. And he was massaging his feet. He said that, Buddha, you are master, you are very tired. Let me take your care. एक दिन आ गया ऐसा वो सुनहरी मौका ढूंढते ढूंढते दोनों को अचानक देखा मेरे गौतम को मीठी नींद में सोते देखा और बाबा को उनके चेहरे पैर दबाते देखा सोचा के आज ये सोए हुए अरमा जागे इसलिए जान चला दौड़ते आगे आगे And then I felt that I should be awakened, seeing both together. So this is a golden opportunity.
एक दिन आ गया ऐसा वो सुनहरी मौका, ढूंढते ढूंढते दोनों को अचानक देखा। मेरे गौतम को मीठी नींद में सोते देखा, और बाबा को उनके पैर दबाते देखा। सोचा के आज ये सोए हुए अरमां जागे, इसलिए जान चला दौड़ते आगे आगे। दौड़ते दौड़ते ठोकर ने गिराया मुझको, हाय बेदर्द ने सोते से जगाया मुझको। हाय बेदर्द ने सोते से जगाया मुझको, सब रात भर मैंने यही ख्वाब देखा। हकीकत में ऐसा कभी काम लूंगा। सो आई वॉज जस्ट वॉकिंग एंड वॉकिंग, बट देन बिकॉज आई वॉज इन द स्लीप आई फेल डाउन एंड देन व्हेन आई सॉ आई कुडंट सी बुद्ध एंड द डॉक्टर अम्बेडकर देयर बिकॉज I opened my eyes, but then I felt, this dream should have continued all the night. So in Hindi, I think he must have understood the meaning in Hindi. So this is what. Now, during 1956 and afterwards, the poets they have helped to bring the Dhamma revolution and the success. Now, on Dikshabhumi, when we went at that time, there was one song again which I would like to sing for you. Just one more song, and then I would stop here. Okay? Would you like to hear? Yeah, everyone. Yeah, is that okay?
जाऊन बाई आले त्या नागपूर गावा, दीक्षा जेथे भीमाने दिधली याला खोजीवा। पाहून सोहळा त्यो दिपल्या ती डोळ माझ, आनंद मनी माझ्या मावेन बाई आज। सोन लुटून आले मी आणि धनी माझ, आनंद मनी माझा मावेन बाई आज।
दिस इज डिस्क्राइबिंग द कन्वर्शन सेरेमनी इन नागपूर, दॅट द पोएट सेज दॅट आय वेंट देअर विथ माय वाईफ अँड आय वेंट देअर अँड आय गॉट द गोल्ड फ्रॉम देअर अँड बिकॉज ऑफ दॅट व्हॉट वॉज दॅट गोल्ड, so it was the Buddhism, and because of that I felt so happy. That is what to say.
Ubhavun pancharangi buddhat he nishan, manus kit sona lutala jithe bhimana. Ubhavun pancharangi buddhat he nishan, manus kit sona lutala jithe bhimana. तेथे हा बोधी धर्म,
माय नेम इज बोधी धर्म,
तेथे हा बोधी धर्म गाईल गाण आज, आनंद मनी माझ्या मावेन बाई आज।
उभवून पंचरंगी बुद्धाचं हे निशाण, आय मीन द डॉक्टर आंबेडकर ही रेज द फ्लॅग ऑफ बुद्धिझम, दॅट इज द पंचशील फ्लॅग।
उभवून पंचरंगी बुद्धाच हे निशाण, माणूस कीच सोन लुटल जिथे भिमान।
सो बुद्धिझम इज इन अदर वर्ड्स इज ऑल्सो रेफर्ड टू एज अ माणूस की, दॅट इज अ ह्युमॅनिटी आय थिंक, ह्युमॅनिटी हॅज गॉट अ व्हेरी लिमिटेड मिनिंग, बट द माणूस की मीन्स यू हॅव टू ट्रीट द अदर ह्युमन बिईंग as a human being like yours. So the
tethe ha bodhi dharma gail gaan aaj, aanand mani majha maven bai aaj.
That place bodhi dharma is singing a song, and he is so happy while singing this song because he has got the meaning for his life.
Because he became Buddhist and he has got the meaning for his life, you know.
जाव मदला वाटे दसराते थे कराया बाबांचा सोहळ्याचा अंतिम लाभ घ्याया
दिसता दिसतो की उभाते थे आज ही भीमराज आनंद मनी माझ्या मावेन बाई आज आय फील दॅट एव्हरी इयर आय शुड गो देअर एव्हरी इयर आय शुड गो टू द दीक्षाभूमी दॅट प्लेस Because when I go there, I feel the presence of Dr. Ambedkar there. And therefore I should go. And let me tell you, I go every year to Dikshabhumi. I go every year to Dikshabhumi just to have that feel of that Dhamma revolution. So friends, thank you very much for listening to my songs. Thank you very much for interacting with you. I think this was my first, after so many years, I gave the talk in English. Now, if I give in Marathi or if I give in Hindi, it should be a big flow. But that was not there. So thank you very much. Thank you.